Love this podcast? Support this show through the supporter feature from Acast. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hello, this is just a cheeky sort of bonus episode. It's not even really an episode. It's sort of like a snippet, a canapé, a little aperitif or a taster of a podcast. I don't know what I'm going on about. Anyway, if you've heard this week's episode already, firstly, well done you bloody hero of the people. Secondly, you'll have already heard my interview with the brilliant Bob Singer, the master youth coach, which was just a conversation I really enjoyed having because Bob's got a way of talking about the human side of things. I know a lot of the times on the podcast, we've got a lot of who does this podcast apart from me? It is only me. God, this is a really worrying sign that I'm referring to myself as more than one person. Anyway, I know on the podcast often there's lots of facts and figures and all that sort of nonsense. And actually, I think more often it's the human side of the story that needs to be told. Like, how does this directly affect people? How do people feel about things rather than what the numbers are? I mean, if that hasn't already been proved by the last couple of years of elections, then what has? Anyway, here is a little bonus bit of Bob. After we did the main bit of the interview, we carried on talking, and this is that bit of that chat where we discuss Bob's views on Brexit, some more stuff about working with young people, and then also a little bit of his views both on comedians and Game of Thrones, just because. So anyway, I hope you enjoy, and here is some bonus Bob. No, but what you did is, I mean, because like the whole thing of, I mean, one of the reasons my podcast is so long is I like when I started doing it, it's been going for 2 years now. And what's really nice, the podcast hosts, the people that host it are now really trying to push it and they're trying to get it like, more listeners and stuff. But the whole thing was I wanted to interview people where they don't just get like, you know, on the news, you hear someone give their opinion and they're on for like 3 minutes and then they cut. And you're like, you get those sound bites. And I'm like, no, I want to talk to people so that people can tell me over 20 minutes to half an hour and say, or longer or whatever, and say, this is what the problem is. You know what I mean? Because you can get into it like that. You know,
I think
you
can actually hear it.
Yeah.
People are crying out for that. I'm not joking about this thing about meaningful conversations.
No.
People are like, come and tell me in 5 minutes. And I'm like, shut your fucking mouth. That's the problem. And they're like, pardon? You can't swear at me? I'm like, yes, I can, mum. it really comes down to that. I'm like, let's take the, like, what else are you doing? That's someone going, I get phone calls from people like, my son's involved in gangs, but I've only got 5 minutes to discuss it because I've got to go to the cinema later on. I'm like, you got to be fucking kidding me, ain't you? Like, what else is more important to you? Like, serious. Lost is not on now, but whatever Game of Thrones I don't watch is not more important than this. And if you can't spend 1 hour or half an hour learning about this shit, then I don't know if you're not part of the problem here. You know, this is not going to be a Twitter thing. This is not going to be on a Facebook feed. And what's happened is we've given the kind of responsibility of the nurturing of our children to the government. And even worse, to fucking dicks like Boris.
Yeah, I know, depressing, isn't it?
Like, would you have Boris as your childminder?
No, I wouldn't let him anywhere near my kids. No. Like, that's, keep him as far away as possible. Do you know, if you get, well, firstly, what I was going to say is, I can't believe you don't watch Game of Thrones. It's all about a really long winter and trying to get through it. So, I mean, well, I that's totally it. Up
that's
your
my
street,
real life.
Mate.
That's
yeah,
my
I know,
real
exactly. That's what I mean. That'd be up your street. But there's,
I've been to Game of Thrones.
Yeah, that's it. But there's an article last week. I'll send it to you about the history of the Johnson family, right? The Boris. And I was like, oh, I'm going to read this because, like, it explains why they're so psychologically messed up, and it's kind of interesting. But there is a bit where his dad's talking about when before he became London mayor, and he's like, oh, well, he once was in this production of Richard II and he forgot his lines, so he just made them up and he got through it, so he'll be able to get through being a mayor. And I was like, that's not a job qualification. That's being an arsehole on stage, right? I've done acting. If the actor next to me, like, pisses about and makes up their own lines, they fuck it up for everyone else, right? They're being a proper arsehole.
Yeah,
like, you just read it and go, that's not a fucking good thing.
I think we live in a parallel. I sometimes wake up and say, I'm literally in Narnia, in a parallel universe. Like, when people go, no, we vote for him because he says it how it is. You know, he offends people. I'm thinking, what? The geezer in the pub that's swearing at the fucking birds, he's offending people and saying it what he believes in his mind. You don't want him to fucking be the mayor. I mean, how have we been convinced that that is the fucking criteria of competence here? And listen, one thing I didn't cover, but I think...
Oh, yeah. I can use the power of editing. If you want to say anything, I can throw it in earlier.
The podcast that I heard last night, were like, you had this kind of the Brexit thing, and it was like this wicked jingle that you had.
Oh, yeah, the Brexit fallout jingle, yeah.
Listen. Yeah. My little two pennies worth on that is, in the last year, especially the last year, I have had dealings with, you know, civil servants. We are in, like, there is nothing happening in our government. Like, literally, the Home Office, the Ministry of Justice, and I'll probably get in trouble if you put this out, but, you know, people that I speak to basically say, we don't know anything because we're going through Brexit. Like, it's we have kind of almost paralyzed ourselves. So civil servants who run the government, who are, you know, putting things in place, everything's like, we don't know what's going on. Mm. Like, we don't know what exists, and that is really dangerous for us. Like, the uncertainty of what it would look like post Brexit has created a slowdown. Not even a slowdown, just a on pause, and that affects every single day. Every single day, people that I've spoken to said, well, "I don't even know if I'm going to have a job, so can't plan."
So I mean, man, it's like, I just, there's so many things that annoy me and upset me about Brexit, but yeah, the simple fact that money and time is going on that while people are properly suffering, can't find homes, and you're like, and David Davis is fucking about kind of forgetting what he said the day before, and you're like, this is, like, do you know, the way I'm explaining to people, like, when I was a kid, I can't remember what the exact moment was, but there was a moment when I realised my parents were also winging it in life. Like, I think it was like my dad couldn't work out how to put batteries in a toilet ad or something like that, and I was like, oh, wow, you're not, like, you're not in charge, right? You're like, you're just another human. And this government is the first government, even with, like, I fucking hated David Cameron and all that, but even they seemed competent. Yeah, you know, I mean, I didn't like what they did, but I could see why they were, you know, they knew what they were doing, even if what they're doing I hated. This government, I feel like, you're fucking idiots. I could do this, right? I could do a better job.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I mean by winter, because while we're in the winter, it seems like this is shit. This is really bad. But we've got incompetent government. And what the spring is going to tell us is we'll remember, oh, shit, we can do a lot of stuff ourselves. Like, actually, the government weren't doing stuff. You know, what makes this country great? What makes, you know, like, when we remember how great this country is, when we remember, you know, great individuals, it's not the government. You know, it wasn't a government strategy that made this country great. You know, no policy, good guidance, policy practice. Now, I mean, youth workers that say, oh, no, we need to write this guidance thing in this paper, this white paper, and we send it out to them. Fucking no one reads that shit.
Yeah,
that's not what makes the difference. It takes fucking courage. it takes fucking a little bit of crazy shit. It takes a little bit of, I might get hurt here, or at least feel a bit uncomfortable or offended, and I need to come out of my house, stop the TV, go outside and have a look around, have a conversation, and that makes a huge impact. Like, what is happening in our communities when people are being friendly in Tesco's? And that's what makes the difference. The government are not going to do this. And what these fuckers are showing us is these definitely not going to do it. So it's exposed our own kind of lie, or our own kind of falsehood, that David Cameron was doing something, because at least he said the right things. Like, people in America know that Trump is not going to do anything. Like, not anything good. So they've started to realize, listen, I've got to get my own job. And they had to, that it's good that they're realizing that. Like, the spring that will come, there's a reason why it's called Arab Spring.
Yeah,
not,
yeah,
Arab, course, yeah, winter, or, yeah, yeah, Arab fucking autumn. Yeah. You know what I mean? Because when it comes, oh, fuck, I've got agency in my life. And the conversations that I have with young people is, yes, sorry. Like, genuinely, I think I put a YouTube video up on, I put it on Facebook, where sometimes I sit with young people and I hear the horror stories. And when I mean young people up to 25, there was one girl, she was fucking held in a dungeon in Bangladesh by her dad because she was a lesbian. So she's come to this country, she's fucking highly traumatized, and people are like, you got to go and get a job. You got to go and sign on. She's like, I'm scared to see the, you know, like, I'm scared of confined spaces. But she doesn't want to talk about the dungeon. So people are not listening, not having a conversation with her. Like, she's not trying to bunk off the job center. She's genuinely trying to deal with trauma. And what I'm saying is, we've got to slow down. And what I said to her, you know, I'm hearing these stories, like 4 or 5 different stories. And I just went, sorry. I am sorry you got to deal with this shit. We can't possibly, like, make this okay. There are still going to be dickheads. Potentially, it might even get worse. And I'm sorry about that. But I have hope and some sort of something, some craziness that says, you're going to be able to deal with this. Like, it's not the government. Like, you're not going to be able to get a job center advisor. This is going to be maybe the people in the room. You're going to have to just create a community, whether it's on Facebook, whether it's on fucking Snapchat. But you're going to have to find something. Otherwise, it's going to be shit.
Yeah.
And they just look at me and they're like, well, I'm scared. And I'm like, okay, I hear that. And they're like, well, what can you do to help? And I'm like, I only got one trick. You know, like, I can sit and talk to you, I can listen to you, and they're like, yeah, I'm feeling better because I haven't told anyone else this.
Yeah, I was going to say, the thing that you do is you're human with them. Do you know what I mean? You're yeah, human with them. And there's not enough humanity at all at the moment.
Yeah.
There's no giving a shit that other people have feelings and fears, and, you know, it's so cold. I just think everything, like you say, it's the winter. Everyone's so cold about everything and so shut off. And, yeah, man, it's weird. Like, well, you know, it's the same. I try, like, the whole Brexit thing. I travel up and down. You know, all I see online is everyone being so angry about it. I travel up and down the country. I mean, like, not angry. I mean, like, being vicious to each other about it. I travel up and down the country doing these comedy gigs. If I mention Brexit, the audience will be split. There'll be some that wanted to remain, some that wanted to leave, but they'll all get on. We'll all have a laugh about it and go, yeah, the government are being shit about it or whatever, you know, and then we can have a chat afterwards. But, like, just engaging face to face makes the hell of a difference. Like, people are all right, you know. Not everyone's, like, nasty. You know, won't be nasty in a face to face situation. It's, I don't know. This anyway. Yeah. I've go on.
Listen, well, yeah, just one final thing, man.
Go for it. Yeah, sure.
Just to throw it into this Brexit thing. My parents come from India, and so they come from the Punjab, which was really affected by the British Raj and the partition, and when they, you know, separated the Punjab, they partitioned. The British partitioned Punjab and created Pakistan. Now, throughout British history, or imperialism, colonialism, there's been a central strategy of how to win, how to have dominance and superiority. And it's called divide and rule. People fucking know this shit, man. They know it. You learn it in history. So when people say, listen, we got to go back to the good old days, What they fucking mean is, we know how to fucking win. We know how to be superior. We know how to get our agenda. It's to get the people to fight. And that's what Brexit is. Like, it is classic strategy of war, of imperialism and colonialism. Like, Rees-Mogg and these guys, they know that shit. They're harking for those days. They're like, how can we get Labour voters to argue amongst themselves? And while they argue amongst themselves, we'll privatise this shit to fucking G4S.
Yeah.
This is old school tactics. They went to India, they went to Africa, they went to fucking Asia, everywhere we go, and we're going to get people to battle themselves. So when you go and speak about Brexit and you see that manifestation, that's what that is. That manifestation is that I say to people, if you voted for Brexit, I'm your brother. I'm the same people. Like, no, I'm not going with that. Like, the main thing, when the vote happened, it fucking kicked off. There were people in my timeline, people like, just ban those. If you voted for Brexit, I'm going to ban you. I'm like, what are you doing? This is the central strategy. You have accepted the central strategy of the people that are trying to fuck you. Do you know what I mean? I'm like, what are you doing? We have to hear why people voted for Brexit. We have to hear that. We have to hear that. If we don't, then while we are arguing, they're stealing everything that we got. And I'm willing to hear Boris. I'm like, I'm willing to hear them. I'm willing to hear they go, we want more money. Okay, let's find a way of how you can have more money if that's all you want. I don't mind that. I think, good, no problem. How much actually money do you want? Like, if you sit down with people that go, oh, no, it's all about the money, no problem. How much do you want? Like, genuinely. Like, let them have some more. No problem. I want this. It's not too much to ask. Just don't kill me. I don't want my children to die. So I'm happy with that. And I think it's fascinating. But what has happened is it has exposed the need that we need to speak to each other. And I respect you. I'll genuinely honour you. Because you've chosen something that you should not be choosing. That this is not a good career. This is, you're mentally ill.
Yeah, I know that, yeah.
Speaking in front of a crowd of people where they might punch and kick you and hate on you, this is something that's not normal behaviour.
Amongst comedians, we describe it as an illness. We don't talk about comedy as like a job, it's an illness.
Yeah, man. And because what you're doing is you're creating a space where they're going to have a meaningful, like, your jokes are not about just nothing. And what it does do is it creates a space for them. Like, your job and my job is not that much different. You put yourself into an uncomfortable place and kind of invite other people to come in. Like, if people are going to laugh about paedophilia, if people are going to laugh about economic downfall and people killing themselves and... So what happens is they're going into an uncomfortable place and they kind of explore that thing and then they can come back. And what happens is that it reminds that they can do that with other people. Like the journey home from one of your gigs where they go, well, what are you saying? I actually believe in that. No, is actually what spring looks like.
Yeah.
You know, that's the hopefulness. The hopefulness is we might actually start speaking to each other. We might actually having a dialogue about what we might listen to each other. And, you know, if that happens, then I'll take 10 Borises.
I really don't want 10 Borises. I mean, I fully agreed with everything you said until that point.
Yeah. In my mouth then.
I will do. So there you go. There was some bonus Bob. I hope you enjoyed that. And don't forget, Bob is on Twitter at Bob Singer. That's BOBSINGHA. And you can find his website at bobsinger.com. I hope you enjoyed that little bonus episode. The proper episode will be next week on Tuesday. That's going to be with an interview with John Hooper all about the upcoming Italian elections, which are bonkers. And I mean, really, if you ever want to feel better about UK politics, have a listen to that. Also, please, obviously, don't donate to the Patreon at patreon.com/parpolebro. Buy me a coffee at ko-fi.com/parpolebro. Review the show on iTunes and all those other places. And please just spread the word. I really want to get this show even more listeners if possible. So just tell everyone you know. If you've got a favourite podcast reviewer or people that write about podcasts on blogs or in papers, please just drop them a line and just let them know that this exists and to give it a listen. That would be much appreciated. Right, Podperitif over. Goodbye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.